Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly with Sarah and Mike, your guide to the aviation industry. Welcome to Aviation Intelligence Weekly. I'm Sarah Chen, and joining me as always is Mike Torres, our Senior Aviation Analyst. Today, we're diving deep into American Airlines Group's second quarter 2026 10Q filing, submitted to the SEC on July 23rd, 2026. Mike, this is a filing with some genuinely striking numbers, and I think our listeners are going to want to hear your take on what's actually happening here.
Sarah, I've been looking forward to this one. There's a lot to unpack, and as always, we're going to stay strictly grounded in what the filing actually says, not what we wish it said.
Let's start with your core thesis. If you had to reduce this entire filing to one sentence, what is it?
If we reduce this filing to one sentence, it's this. American Airlines is generating operating momentum at scale while carrying a debt load so heavy that every dollar of operating profit is effectively spoken for before it reaches shareholders. Based on this filing, American Airlines is operating in a mid-cycle expansion phase. Revenues are recovering sharply, operating income has turned meaningfully positive, but the balance sheet remains a structural constraint that caps the upside of that recovery. We'll come back and test that thesis against everything we find in the filing.
Strong framing. Let's get into the material changes versus the prior quarter, because the headline numbers here are genuinely dramatic.
They are, and we need to be precise about what we're comparing. The filing shows revenues increasing 120.3% from $13.91 billion in Q1 2026 to $30.65 billion in Q2 2026. Now, before anyone panics or celebrates, that comparison is almost certainly a six-month versus three-month comparison artifact, or it reflects the classic seasonal pattern where Q2 is American's peak travel quarter. Legacy carriers historically generate 40 to 50% of their annual revenue in Q2 and Q3 combined. So a doubling of the revenue base from Q1 to Q2 is not unusual in absolute terms. What matters is the quality of that revenue.
And what does the filing tell us about operating income?
This is where it gets interesting. Operating income increased 1,087.8% from negative $41 million in Q1 to positive $405 million in Q2. That's a swing of $446 million in a single quarter. For context, Americans' operating margins have historically ranged from roughly negative 2% in weak quarters to around 10% in peak quarters. A $405 million operating income on roughly $30.65 billion in revenue implies an operating margin of approximately 1.3%. That is thin. That is not a peak cycle margin. That is a carrier still climbing out of a hole.
So the headline swing looks dramatic, but the underlying margin tells a different story.
Exactly. And here's the causality chain that matters. If this 1.3% operating margin represents the ceiling of Americans' current earnings power rather than a stepping stone, then the debt service burden, which we'll get to, consumes the entire operating profit and then some. The net income figure confirms this, negative $311 million for the period. The company is generating positive operating income, but still losing money on a net basis. That gap between operating income and net income is the debt load expressing itself.
Let's talk about what management actually said in the filing. What signals did you pick up from the MD&A?
I want to be transparent with our listeners here. The MD&A excerpt provided in this filing is unusually sparse on operational narrative. The filing's notes and disclosures are detailed, but the traditional management commentary on revenue trends, yield, load factor, and unit costs is not present in the excerpted text. So I'm going to work with what is explicitly stated and flag where the filing is silent.
That's an important disclosure. What did management actually say?
A few things stand out. On the loyalty program, the filing states, and I'm quoting directly, that as of June 30th, 2026, the current loyalty program liability was $4.4 billion and, quote, represents our current estimate of revenue expected to be recognized in the next 12 months based on historical trends, with the balance reflected in long-term loyalty program. liability expected to be recognized as revenue in periods thereafter. That $4.4 billion is a significant forward revenue pipeline. It tells you the AA Advantage program is actively generating deferred revenue that will convert to recognized revenue over the next year.
That's a meaningful number. What else?
The filing also notes that $5.1 billion of revenue recognized in the first half of 2026 was previously sitting in air traffic liability at December 31st, 2025. That's the demand that was booked in late 2025 and flew in the first half of this year. It speaks to healthy advance booking behavior. On the tax side, management recorded a $36 million tax provision in Q2 and a $58 million tax benefit in the first half, both described as substantially non-cash due to NOL utilization. The filing also explicitly states that management determined that, quote, positive factors outweigh negative factors in assessing deferred tax asset realizability. That is management signaling confidence in future profitability, though it's a standard accounting judgment rather than a forward guidance statement.
Cautious optimism, but grounded in accounting language rather than operational bravado.
That's a fair characterization. The tone is measured. There's no triumphalism here. The filing reads like a company that knows it has work to do.
Let's move to financial red flags and confirmations, because the balance sheet is where the story gets complicated.
From a capital structure standpoint, this is the most important section of the episode. Total debt increased 10.1% from $22.93 billion in Q1 to $25.25 billion in Q2. That is a $23 billion debt load on a company generating $405 million in quarterly operating income. To put that in context, Americans' debt-to-operating income ratio at these levels would require roughly 62 quarters of current operating income just to retire the debt principal. That is not a healthy ratio by any standard in the airline industry.
And cash on hand?
Cash and equivalents stand at $1.18 billion. For an airline of American scale, $30.65 billion in quarterly revenue, $1.18 billion in cash is a thin cushion. Major legacy carriers have historically targeted cash reserves of 10 to 15% of annual revenue as a liquidity buffer. At American's revenue run rate, that benchmark would imply a target of roughly $5 to $6 billion in cash. They're running at roughly one-fifth of that benchmark. That is not a comfortable position.
So the causality chain here is stark.
Very stark. If operating margins compress, say fuel prices spike or demand softens, American has limited cash reserves to absorb the shock. The company would face a choice between drawing on credit facilities, issuing additional debt, or cutting capacity. Any of those paths has consequences. If the thin cash position persists, while debt service obligations remain elevated, the investment case shifts from a recovery story to a survival story. That's the red flag that demands monitoring.
Let's talk about risk disclosures. What did the filing flag?
The filing notes that no new or significantly escalated risk factors were identified versus the prior filing. That's notable in itself. It suggests management does not believe the risk landscape has materially shifted. However, I want to flag one item that isn't labeled as a new risk, but functions as one. The filing references a cargo receivables facility of $50 million that is scheduled to expire in December 2026. That's a near-term maturity that will need to be addressed. It's small in absolute terms, but it's a data point worth watching.
What about the broader aviation sector risk environment?
The filing references the standard forward-looking statement disclaimer, noting that there may be factors of which management is, quote, not currently aware that may affect matters discussed in the forward-looking statements. That's boilerplate, but it's a reminder that the aviation sector carries macro sensitivity, fuel prices, geopolitical disruptions, labor relations that can materialize quickly. The filing also references the new accounting standard ASU 2026-02 on environmental credits, effective after December 2027, which American is currently evaluating. That's a future compliance item, not an immediate risk, but it signals that environmental cost accounting is becoming a more formal part of the regulatory landscape for carriers.
Let's go deeper on liquidity and the balance sheet, because the 2026 refinancing activity in this filing is actually quite significant.
This is genuinely the most constructive part of the filing from a balance sheet management perspective. In March 2026, American executed amendments to both its 2013 and 2014 credit facilities, establishing new revolving commitments. The 2013 revolving facility was reset at $363 million, maturing in March 2031. The 2014 revolving facility was reset at approximately $1.3 billion, also maturing in March 2031. And the 2023 revolving facility was reset at approximately $1.5 billion, also maturing in March 2031.
So they pushed out a significant amount of revolving capacity to 2031.
Correct. And then in May 2026, American executed what the filing calls the 12th Amendment to the 2014 credit agreement. They refinanced approximately $1.1 billion in existing term loans that were scheduled to mature in January 2027. That was a near-term cliff. And they also incurred $703 million in incremental term loans. The combined 2026 term loans now mature in May 2033, with annual amortization of 1% beginning in May 2027. The interest rate on these loans is SOFR plus 300 basis points per annum. That's meaningful. At current rates, that's a significant interest burden on roughly $1.8 billion in term loans alone.
And the filing mentions prepayments as well?
Yes. The MD&A summary notes that management prepaid $1 billion in 8.5% senior secured notes and $629 million in short-term term loans. Retiring 8.5% fixed rate debt is a smart capital allocation move. That's expensive paper. The net effect of all this activity is that American has extended its maturity runway significantly, but the total debt load actually increased by 10% in the quarter to $25.25 billion. They're managing the timing of the debt, not yet reducing the quantum.
Let's shift to segment analysis. What does the filing tell us about where revenue is coming from?
The filing confirms that American reports passenger revenue across domestic and international geographic segments, attributed by flight origin and destination. However, the specific revenue figures by segment are not included in the excerpted text, so I cannot give you precise domestic versus international revenue splits without speculating. What I can tell you is that regional operations are expanding. The filing shows regional capacity purchase expenses with Republic Airways, operating under the American Eagle brand, increased year over year, $187 million versus $174 million in Q2, and $364 million versus $342 million in the first half. That's roughly a 7-8% increase in regional flying costs, which implies expanded regional capacity.
What does that tell us about the network strategy?
It tells us American is leaning into its regional feed network. Regional flying typically serves as a feeder system for mainline long-haul routes, which carry higher yields. The depreciation and amortization within regional operations also rose, from $160 million in the first half of 2025 to $183 million in the first half of 2026. That's a 14% increase, suggesting capital investment in the regional fleet is ongoing. On the loyalty side, the $4.4 billion current loyalty program liability is a segment unto itself. The A Advantage program is effectively a financial services business embedded in an airline, and that liability represents committed future revenue that is relatively insulated from short-term demand volatility.
That's an important structural point. Let's close with what traders and investors should be watching. And I know you want to revisit the core thesis.
From a monitoring standpoint, the filing gives us several specific data points to track. First, watch the conversion of that $4.4 billion loyalty program liability into recognized revenue over the next 12 months. If that conversion rate holds, It provides a meaningful revenue floor. Second, watch the cargo receivables facility expiration in December 2026. $50 million is small, but facility expirations can signal broader credit market access. Third, the 2026 term loans begin amortizing in May 2027, so the first real test of the refinance debt structure is less than a year away.
And what would prove the thesis wrong?
Here's the mandatory counter thesis. Our core thesis is that American is in mid-cycle expansion with a debt structure that caps shareholder upside. What would prove us wrong? Two things. First, if operating margins expand meaningfully, say to 5% or above on a sustained basis, the math on debt service changes dramatically, and the recovery story becomes a genuine re-rating story. Second, if American executes a significant debt reduction, not refinancing, but actual principal paydown, that would signal a structural shift in the balance sheet trajectory. Neither of those is visible in this filing, but they are the specific data points that would force us to revise the thesis.
And does the full weight of evidence from this filing confirm or modify the opening thesis?
It confirms it and actually sharpens it. The revenue recovery is real. $30.65 billion in quarterly revenue is a substantial number. The operating income swing from negative $41 million to positive $405 million is genuine progress. But the net loss of $311 million, the $25.25 billion debt load, and the $1.18 billion cash position collectively tell you that American is running a high-wire execution scenario with limited margin for error. The refinancing activity is smart balance sheet management, but it is not deleveraging. At current operating margins, this equity trades like a carrier in early recovery, not a carrier approaching financial normalization. The debt load is the story, and it will remain the story until the operating margin durability question is answered.
Mike, that's a thorough and grounded read of a complex filing. Thank you for keeping us anchored to what the document actually says.
That's the only way to do it responsibly, Sarah.
Before we sign off, the standard disclaimer, nothing on Aviation Intelligence Weekly constitutes investment advice. All analysis is based solely on publicly available SEC filings and is intended for informational and educational purposes only. We are not affiliated with American Airlines Group or any of its subsidiaries. Always consult a qualified financial professional before making investment decisions. I'm Sarah Chen, he's Mike Torres, and we'll see you next week on Aviation Intelligence Weekly.